Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, the critically acclaimed, I think I just say that. I don't know if we're actually critically acclaimed anywhere, but it's Daddy Soda time, baby. And the critically acclaimed College Draft podcast actually looking in depth back at the 2016 NFL Draft and getting Fran's top picks continues to roll on this series we're in right now. Isn't it kind of funny on some level, Fran? You know, you spend almost a year leading up to the draft, and then you have the draft, and most places out there it's like, yeah, the next day they'll do grades or something, and then you just move on. It's like, wait a minute. Kind of actually got to look at what these teams did, who the top pick is, a sleeper, someone that we're not quite sure about, as well as maybe even undrafted free agent gem. So that's exactly what we've been doing so far. And there's only a little bit of news we need to get to first, Fran. He, of course, is Fran Duffy. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles, does an unbelievable job on this podcast, and word is starting to spread quickly about how good Fran is at what he does, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it so far. Episode 42, by the way, Fran, how crazy is that?
Yeah, man, it feels like just yesterday that we were talking about what the structure was going to be of our very first podcast, and whether we were going to be talking about Laramie Tunsil or Robert Kimdichie or whoever it was that we were going to talk about to start the SEC preview in episode one. And now 41 episodes later, here we are.
Right. But we need to go over what happened in the draft. Today, we're talking about the West, the AFC West, the NFC West. Before we dive into divisions and the team, Frank, we've been looking at, you know, for most teams, I'll ask you about the sleeper, a guy we'll see. You know, some of these teams, if we haven't really discussed prior, their top pick, we'll get into that as well. Speaking of the top pick, we do have some news to get to. Jalen Ramsey, late last week, injured his knee, torn meniscus. Still waiting for more information to come out in that regard as to exactly, you know, what they're going to end up doing with him. And the other thing is, now their seventh-round pick has gotten hurt as well. Not a good start so far for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, from a health standpoint. It's kind of hard to believe, really, when you think about it. But their seventh-round pick tore his Achilles. And so now Jonathan Woodward, or Woodard, the D-end, is out for the season as well. I don't know how much, if anything, you know about Woodard, Fran.
I know very little about Woodard, but, you know, it's just unfortunate. Obviously, look, you're talking about a team that lost Dante Fowler last year, their number one pick, to a torn ACL in mini camps, and they lost him for the season. 1 year later, now you're dealing with another knee injury to your top pick in Jalen Ramsey. You know, it's interesting, and I don't know what your take is on it, Ross, and I don't want to get too off track, but you know, a lot of people say like, oh, they shouldn't have these guys out here on the field. I mean, what are they doing this time of year? And then they say the same thing when a guy gets hurt in training camp and the same thing when a guy gets hurt in preseason. It's just funny to me that I think some people think like, oh, you know what? They're just going to show up in week one and just start playing. I mean, it's very much, you as a former athlete know, you know, it's so much about muscle memory and being able to get your body ready for the season. And people wonder, well, why are these guys out on the field right now? What could they possibly be doing to help improve themselves going into the fall? Obviously, there's a lot happening right now, especially for these rookies.
Right, and there's even more to it than that because, you know, some of these teams, such as really the Dolphins, the Jaguars, they've been trying to, you know, protect these guys as much as they can. They didn't put them on the field right away for rookie minicamp, and I think, you know, what my argument would be, well, it looks pretty clear that that's, you know, that there's more to it than that. You know, that, oh, well, we've solved the problem by not putting them out there for rookie minicamp. Well, that hasn't worked out so well so far for the Jaguars. Let's get into the divisional breakdown, though. That's why most of the folks are here. And we'll start with the San Diego Chargers, Fran, who surprised a lot of people. They seem to be pretty humored by all the reports that they were going to take Ronnie Stanley and some of these other guys before they took Joey Bosa with their top pick. As much as anything, I thought that was an interesting scheme fit for them.
Yeah, it was interesting. There was an article that was published late last week out of San Diego that had really, like, you know, the inside the draft room kind of an access, you know, with their decision makers, and they talked about how they just kind of sat back and laughed at all the reports about Ronnie Stanley going number three, and how no one really talked about Joey Bosa, and it wasn't even like they were trying to hide it. They would have talked about him if people had asked, but no one had really tried to make that pairing. And you know, Bosa apparently was their guy from day one. And that when they knew that the Eagles had traded up to number two, that they were going to get their guy, and they were really excited. Look, they've had a lot of issues trying to get after the quarterback. They've tried time and time and time again, going back to, you know, Larry English and all these guys, Ingram, everybody that they've drafted over the last 6, 7, 8 years to come in and rush the passer. They've gotten a little bit of production out of a guy I really liked, actually, out of Georgia Tech a couple years ago, and Jeremiah Atachu. But Bosa is a guy, look, he's one of those players, Ross, and I would have told you this about Amari Cooper last year. High ceiling, but also high floor, and just because of the way he plays the game. I mean, he knows how to use his hands. He knows how to attack offensive tackles. And when you have a player that has all the physical tools, but then also knows what to do with those tools, that's when you really have something. And that's what the Chargers think they have in Joey Bosa.
Who's your sleeper for the Chargers?
I would say it's Max Turk, their third-round pick. They took him 66th overall. I thought that he would have gotten drafted higher if not for the ACL. He still went a little bit higher than I even thought. I loved this kid on tape. I mean, 6'5", 298 pounds. You're talking about a player that played as a left tackle his freshman year in 2012, then slid a little bit further inside the left guard in 2013, and then the past two seasons was the starter at center for the Trojans. Got hurt in the middle of last year. I think it was mid-October last year, but an outstanding athlete for the position, really, really tough, a finisher, really excellent on the move as a puller. They've had a lot of rotating players there inside at center, but even if they do decide, you know, we're good inside, maybe they put him at guard and he thrives there. But I really, really like Max Turk and what he brings to the table. He's my sleeper there for the Chargers.
Is there a guy that you're kind of taking a wait and see, you're not so sure about?
You know, we talked about this a little bit when we talked about the Buffalo Bills and Reggie Ragland and pairing him with Preston Brown. And I think it's a similar situation here with San Diego. They've got a guy that they drafted in the second round last year, Denzel Perryman from Miami, who's a really good player. I like Denzel Perryman. But when you're talking about matching complementary skill sets, I don't know that Josh Perry, who's their fourth-round pick out of Ohio State, was the 102nd overall pick, 6'4", 254 pounds. Big kid, long arms, instinctive, a really good run defender, but the question is his athletic ability. You had some of the same questions with Perryman, is what kind of an athlete is he? When they get to third down and you play sub package, are you going to have both of those guys on the field at the same time? And if so, are you going to be worried about how teams are going to be able to attack you in the middle of the field? That'll be something that I'm going to keep my eyes on when watching the Chargers this year.
How about the Raiders? Your favorite pick they made was Jahad Ward. You love Ward.
I love Ward, man. From the very first time, I think the first game I watched was that Iowa game last year. And again, you're talking about a player who's 6'5", 297 pounds, lining up as a right defensive end in a 4-3 scheme and a one-gap scheme. A great athlete. I know his test numbers and his spark score wasn't outstanding, but when you watch him, his athletic ability stood out. His high motor, his versatility stood out. He got some reps inside as a three technique. Some games he started inside, but a really, really intriguing player. That honestly, you talked about watching Josh Perry get matched up alongside Denzel Perryman. I'm really interested to see how Jahad Ward looks like opposite of a Mario Edwards. And you talk about a player like Khalil Mack as well in that front seven. They've really, really added to that front seven and that defensive side of the ball for Oakland. So Jahad Ward was my favorite pick of the players that they took in the first two rounds. I'm a big fan of Ward.
How about a sleeper for the Raiders?
Yeah, that would be their third-round pick. Shalik Calhoun is a guy that I really liked. I thought he was better than the third-round pick, honestly. 6'4", 251 pounds. Another guy who's got a high motor, has good size. Look, I was a little bit underwhelmed with his abilities against the run over the last couple of years. I thought for a guy his size at defensive end that he'd be a little bit more effective down there setting the edge and playing as a force player down there. But honestly, a guy that knows that we talked about it with Bosa a little bit, he knows how to attack offensive tackles. You know, and he's got a pretty well-rounded skill set as a pass rusher, can win with power and win with speed. I like Shelly Calhoun a lot.
I'm surprised a little bit by your wait and see here. There's a lot of people that love their first round pick in Carl Joseph, but you're not feeling it, huh?
You know, I've just the thing with me with Joseph is that I thought he was a specific kind of player. You know, and watching him as a junior and then watching him in the brief time that he was on the field as a senior, you see an undersized kid. He's under 5'10". He's 205 pounds. He's got a high motor. I love that. Really, and you can see the intensity. You love some of the quotes that you heard from West Virginia throughout the process. Really, after he got hurt, remember their defensive coordinator said that he was the best player that he's ever coached in terms of his leadership and intangibles and how big of a loss he would be for that defense. He ended up being a huge loss for that defense. But a guy that's got physical skills in terms of defending the run, but athletically, I had some questions. And yeah, they used him in ways where you could see some of that athleticism. You know, you saw some plays as a single high player. There was the one interception near the sideline as a single high player against Oklahoma that everybody points to. But I saw a lot of bad angles on tape, especially as a junior. They got a little bit better this past year, but he took some really bad angles against the run and the pass as a junior that kind of scared me a little bit with that kid. He's definitely someone you want to root for, but I don't know. I'm just going to be – I'm tempering my expectations for him moving forward, especially as a top 15 pick. I certainly did not see that.
How about the Chiefs? What was your favorite pick that they made?
You know, they traded out. They were the team that traded with San Francisco when they traded up to take Josh Garnett. And the Chiefs, they ended up with a guy from Notre Dame, the defensive back, Kavari Russell, 5'11", 192 pounds, played inside – in the slot, but also started on the outside, missed his entire junior campaign because of that whole academic scandal there in South Bend. But I like his size. I like his ability to go up and play the football. I saw him in person at the Temple game, and I told you actually right after that on this podcast that I was a really big fan, really, of his body. I mean, he looks the part of an NFL defensive back. People question his athletic ability, but then he went to the combine and had a good showing in terms of his test scores. He ran well. I'm really impressed by Kavari Russell, and he doesn't need to play right away. They've got a pretty veteran secondary there in Kansas City, so he doesn't need to necessarily step in and play right away. If you can really try and improve some of those traits that he's got a lot of really good physical tools. He could be an impact player as a corner or as a safety at the next level.
Who was your sleeper pick for the Chiefs?
Well, two guys that I liked a lot in terms of their physical ability. One was Demarcus Robinson, who was their fourth-round pick, and he would have been much higher than a fourth-round pick, Ross, if not for the off-field concerns. He was suspended, I believe it was four times in 3 years down there in Gainesville with the Gators for a variety of different reasons. But he's got good size. He's 6'1", 203 pounds. He's a good route runner. He's got the speed to stretch you vertically. He can block on the perimeter. Very well-rounded wide receiver. If he can just keep his head on straight, I think the Chiefs have a player there in Robinson. And then also off the edge, you know, Daddy Nicholas has really always intrigued me. He's 6'3". He's light at 239 pounds. And that's one of the things that I think people thought, okay, well, is he a defensive end? Can he play as a full-time player on the edge? And that remains to be seen. And obviously, you're talking about a sixth-round pick here, but he's got a high motor again. And you kind of hear some of the same things they talk about with some of these guys. He plays sideline to sideline consistently. He's a great athlete for the position, has a great first step. Still needs to improve as a pass rusher, can do some things better in coverage, but you have a player that can be very, very versatile in terms of the position and what he's asked to do, can grow a little bit too, because it's another team, or another position again, where they've got depth on the edge there. You know, I know that they've had some injuries this offseason with Houston, but they drafted D4, they brought back Tamba Hali, they've got some other players, you know, that they've brought in, Zombo, you know, the Zombos of the world, that can come in and tutor this kid. I think he's got a lot of physical tools.
Who's the guy that maybe you're not so sure about?
Yeah, and that would be their first pick, the second rounder, Chris Jones from Ole Miss, or from Mississippi State. He's 6'6", 310 pounds, he's got super long arms, 34.5-inch long arms. He's got that first step that you want for a quality defensive lineman. I just didn't see the consistent effort, and that was a big question for me. Was I didn't always see the urgency from him in terms of attacking offensive linemen. I did not see the pass rush skill consistently from a guy like Chris Jones, and I know he was very, very disruptive. The production was there, but I didn't. A lot of those plays, I thought, were some busts up front and some gimme plays. I wanted to see a little bit more in terms of using his hands and being able to win with his mind rather than with his feet. And that's a big question for you with Chris Jones. But look, they drafted him in the second round, 37th overall. It's not a ton of pressure right away, even though he was their first pick. Chris Jones is an athletic upside guy, but I think it needs a little bit of time, a little bit of seasoning.
And finally, in the AFC West, the defending champs, the Denver Broncos. What do you think their top pick was?
I love Adam Gatsis, man. Look, they traded up for Paxton Lynch, and we'll see how that plays out in Kubiak's scheme. In terms of the physical skill set, there's a match there. But I love Adam Gatsis. They've had some losses along the defensive line in free agency. He's 6'4" and a half, 287 pounds, an Australian kid that came to America to play football, never redshirted. He went to Georgia Tech, played right away, even though he had never played American football. Great athlete, very high motor, played sideline to sideline. Again, a guy who knows how to attack offensive tackles. Even though he's only played football for a few different years or a few years, he needs a little bit more experience. I think he needs to get bigger and stronger. Tore his ACL early in the season. I think it was mid-September he tore his ACL. So, you want to see him come back from the injury. But I loved that kid on tape, man. I thought that he would have been a top 50 pick if he was healthy. He ended up going 63. I'm really, really, I was disappointed. I was really hoping, honestly, that he would fall to the Eagles in the third round. Really, really intriguing player. I really liked Adam Gatsis.
Give me your sleeper for the Broncos.
Yeah, I'll go to round five. And they're with the 144th overall pick, they took Connor McGovern, the offensive lineman out of Mizzou. 6'4", 306 pounds, a little bit undersized, but very good athlete. Tough as nails, smart kid. I think that he projects well to a zone scheme, and probably more a guard than a tackle, but I think he could be that kind of swing player for them. They've added some really interesting pieces along the offensive line through the draft in the last couple of years, and McGovern will fit right in there.
Who is your will see for the Broncos?
Well, we talked about Lynch, and look, there are issues there. But if I dip into the middle rounds, they drafted a safety from Boston College named Justin Simmons in the third round. That, yeah, he's got great size. I mean, he's 6'2" and a half, 202 pounds. He's got really long arms. You look at him, and you're off the cuff, you're really, really impressed. But I thought he was a really big spectator, honestly, on the back end. There were some plays where he would be a single high player, Ross, and there would be a pass thrown outside the numbers downfield, and instead of breaking on the football, his feet were almost stuck in cement, and he was just watching the play unfold before him. It really, really bothered me in terms of not being able to see that reaction quickness, that ability to break on a ball and play single high. And I know he tested really well, and a lot of people thought, oh man, this guy's a great athlete. But that's the difference between being fast and playing fast. And that'll be the big thing with Justin Simmons, is can his mind always take him where his feet are able to? And that'll be something I'm very, very interested to watch, because he can play down in the slot as well. He showed that he could do that at Boston College. But man, his instincts, his reaction quickness were a big, big question mark for me early in the process. And then Devontae Booker, the running back that they took in the fourth round, I thought that was still a little rich for me. A lot of people thought that was a steal. I thought he was a little rich for me. Look, he's got decent size. He can run between the tackles. But we talked about Booker over the last few months. Instincts and vision were a big question mark for me. And then also ball security. He had an issue with his injury with a knee. So there's a lot of question marks there for Devontae Booker as well.
Well, there's a lot of question marks in life, but not for one when it comes to online gaming. Because there's only one answer, friend, and you already know it. It's betdsi.com. I told you, well, maybe I didn't tell you guys, but I knew Exaggerator was going to win on Saturday, or at least I thought Exaggerator was going to win on Saturday. We'll have another Triple Crown race, the Belmont, coming up in a couple weeks here. NBA, NHL playoffs still going strong. UFC's got some great fights coming up. And, of course, they even have some of the most entertaining presidential race ever that you can bet on over at betdsi.com, with Trump versus Clinton, which would be a pretty fun thing to bet on if you want. BetDSI, it's quick. I love the mobile access. It works great. very easy to use. And as I always say, you know, there's nothing wrong with making the game a little more interesting, especially if you're using somebody else's money, like our money, Draft10, or you can also use the code Tucker10 if you've already used Draft10. Use the code Tucker10 sometime over at betdsi.com, and you will get a free $10, which is very cool, into your account. So betdsi.com, use the code Draft10. Fran, moving to the NFC West, I know how you feel about DeForest Buckner, so let's go right to this. You had him as your top pick, so let's go to the sleepers. Who do you have there?
I love their fifth-round pick, Ronald Blair, out of Appalachian State. I mean, he plays a similar position to Buckner in terms of a long defensive line, but Blair, they lined up all over the line of scrimmage, lined him up as a zero, as a one, as a three, as a five, as a seven. I loved his positional versatility. I watched him against Clemson, and the Tigers early in the season, they had no answers for Ronald Blair. I mean, he was so disruptive against the run and the pass in that game. And I actually just watched that game again because I was watching Deshaun Watson, and Blair was just stood out watching the tape of those guys. And Blair is really quick off the ball, anticipates the snap really well, another high motor kid. I know he didn't test really well at the combine, but rebounded well at his pro day, so the numbers stacked up for what he saw on tape. I really like Ronald Blair. And then also in the sixth round, he's getting a little bit of buzz because, you know, obviously the quarterback situation is a little murky right now in San Francisco. But Jeff Driscoll, look, he impressed me from this season because, you know, I kind of wrote him off. I'll be honest. I wrote him off when he transferred out of Florida. He was a former big-time recruit. His career in Gainesville was a failure, to be blunt. So I kind of wrote him off. He went to Louisiana Tech and did a great job in that system and executed what they asked him to do, or what they asked him to do. He's got a solid arm. He's accurate. I think he needs to work on his touch a little bit, but a guy that impressed me. I thought his physical tools were a little bit better than where he ended up going in a deep quarterback class in the sixth round.
What about a guy that you're kind of, I don't know about?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, the guy that is intriguing in terms of his physical tools, but you just don't know what you're going to get. And they ended up not having to spend too much draft capital on him, was the cornerback from LSU, Rashard Robinson. He's got great size. He's 6'1.5". Now he's very, very light. He's 171 pounds, which especially considering his height, he's really, really skinny. But you're talking about a player who was really, really effective early in his career as a true freshman at LSU in the SEC. You can go back. I watched his game against Mike Evans. That was the year Mike Evans was a top 10 pick for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he did a great job against Mike Evans. I think he won SEC Defensive Player of the Week that week. He's got great size. He's got great straight line speed. Another guy who plays really well in pursuit. The questions are his ball skills downfield. You know, can he find the ball late in the down when he turns his back to the quarterback out of phase, and then he gets back in position? Can he turn and find the ball late? That was the big question with Rashard Robinson. But look, you only spent a fourth round pick on him. He had, and I should also say, obviously, did not play this past season. In 2015, did not play, was kicked off the team after the 2014 season and chose to sit out the entire season. So did not play a down of football a year ago. So you're dealing with a guy who hasn't played, still has some issues that he's got to work through on the field. So it'll be very, very interesting to watch.
As for the Rams, you've got Jared Goff as both your top pick and your will see. And I think we've discussed previously why that is in terms of scheme fit. But your sleeper for the Rams, who is it?
You know, I would say it's Farrell Cooper. You know, it was their fourth round pick. To me, honestly, Ross, overall, and I know, look, he's not, in terms of body type, he's not that that X receiver on the outside that's going to get all the glitz and glamour. But he was a top five receiver for me when it was all said and done. You know, 5'11", 203 pounds. He's a good – I know he didn't test all that well in terms of his 40 time and things like that at the combine. But athletically, I really liked what I saw on tape. Yards after catch, he was very, very good. He's got strong hands. He's not going to be that contested catch, jump ball type receiver, but a guy that can win with the ball in his hands as a runner after the catch. He's got good vision in the open field. A solid route runner, lined up all over the place in that South Carolina offense as a quarterback, as a tailback, in the slot and outside. I really, really like Farrell Cooper.
Let's move on and go now to the Arizona Cardinals. You like the Kemdiche pick. We've talked about him. How about a sleeper for the Cardinals?
Yeah, I would say the two guys that really impressed me were Evan Bame, the center that they took in the beginning of day three and round four. He was 6'2", 302 pounds, anchored really, really well, helped maintain the integrity of the pocket there for Mizzou, whoever was lining up at quarterback for them this past year. And he's got some power too in the run game. You know, can move people off the ball. A little bit undersized in terms of his length, but a guy that really, really impressed me. At times, he reminded me a little bit of a smaller Travis Frederick, who was a first-round pick, obviously, of the Dallas Cowboys a couple years ago. And then also their sixth-round pick, a guy I've talked about a little bit on this show, is Harlan Miller from Southeast Louisiana. He's 6 foot, 182 pounds, was the defensive back player of the week at the Senior Bowl, really, really stood out in the week of practice down there in Mobile, can excel in press coverage, is a good tackler. Needs to work on, you know, you need to improve that eye discipline. And can he improve on that? That'll be the big question. Obviously, a sixth round pick, that's going to be the very, very interesting storyline for him is, you know, can he improve his instincts at the next level as he catches up to the speed of the NFL game?
Is there a we'll see guy for the Cardinals?
Yeah, probably my most surprising pick of the first three rounds would have been who they took in the third round, 92nd overall. They took the corner, Brandon Williams, out of Texas A&M. Now, Williams, a lot of people may not have been familiar with his story. He was 5'11", 197 pounds. He went to the combine and ran 4.38, so everyone's scrambling. Oh, who the hell is this guy? Played running back up until last year. So he was a running back up through the end of the 2014 season, was an Oklahoma transfer, started his career at Oklahoma, again, as a running back, transferred to Texas A&M, and then made the switch to the secondary this past season. So he's only got 1 year on defense under his belt, but he's got solid size at 5'11", 197. He went to the combine and ran well. So there's a ton of upside there. Now, can he improve his technique at the line of scrimmage? Can he improve his ball skills? We talked about some of those things with Rashard Robinson and Harlan Miller, and those things match up here with Williams. It's an upside pick. It's a risky pick. But if you feel confident that you can coach him up and get him to where he needs to be, athletically, he's got the tools. But I thought it was a little rich for me to take that kind of chance there in the top 100 picks.
Finally, the Seahawks. Who do you think was their top pick?
I wasn't crazy about their first round pick, Jermaine Ifedi, but I loved getting Jahron Reed in round two. To get him in the top 50, especially in the second round, we've talked about Jahron Reed and his size, his ability to defend the run. He can anchor at the point of attack, but he's also got that high motor. I would imagine that he fell because of his perceived lack of third down value in terms of rushing the passer, but a guy that really, really impressed me over the last two seasons as a run defender for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
And then who is the sleeper of that class?
They took two guys in the third round that really impressed me throughout the process. Well, the first one is Reese Odhiambo from Boise State, who's 6'5", 220 pounds, explosive athlete, has the feet to hold up in pass protection. He's a little bit undersized, but a really, really impressive athlete for the offensive line spot. But the guy that I'm really excited about, honestly, and just the more you hear about this pick and this match, the more you get excited about it, is C.J. Procise from Notre Dame going to Pete Carroll. And you hear all the talk of, you know, how excited Pete Carroll was and how they made it a point that they wanted to come out of day two of the draft with C.J. Procise. That was their main target going into day two. And how when they called him up, they said, hey, we've got a plan for you. We can't wait for you to get here. And he can't help but wonder, could C.J. Procise be for Pete Carroll what Reggie Bush was? And that would be a very, very interesting thing to watch. When he went to rookie minicamp, he spent 2 days in rookie minicamp working with the wide receivers and the other two working with the backs. From a fantasy football perspective, if you're a team that has a PPR and you're a PPR dynasty league, C.J. Procise might be a guy I would keep an eye on, because I expect him to be very, very involved in the passing game, and as well as get his share of carries as well out of the backfield for Seattle.
That'll do it, Fran. Now, which division? We've done the North. We've done the South. We've done
West. We need to do the North.
Oh, I thought we did do the North. No, okay, so we did the East.
Yes.
Got it. We were talking about doing the North. All right. Well, we're going to do the AFC North and the NFC North next week to wrap up, which has been a fun series, getting your thoughts on some of the sleepers and the guys you're not quite so sure about here on the College Draft Podcast. Can't tell you guys how much we appreciate your support, whether it's spreading the word via social media. He's at FDuffy3 on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. The channel at RTF Podcast. That's Brian, really. And then even more important than that is probably the iTunes rankings comments. That helps out quite a bit. We're going to have some fun stuff planned for you over the next couple months, taking a little more in-depth look at scouting, at next year's class. There's a bunch of stuff we'll get into here as we roll along. Other than that, for right now, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.